counting on, I'm counting on God. All right, good morning, church. Let's stand up. Let's worship the Lord together. Good morning, everyone. Morning. You know, I was just thinking today, I was talking to Jack last week on text or something, and we just talked about it. He said something about, you know, I wish I was back to my simpler life, you know, when, like, you know, things didn't cost so much, you know, and you just kind of had this, you know, you weren't worried about losing your job because you can just find another job making, you know, whatever that was, and, you know, you didn't have much house payment, you know, you didn't have much responsibility, you know, and I think it's just we all kind of wish for that. We get to a point in our lives where stuff just costs so much, and we're trying hard to keep up, and our head above water, and we, you know, finding another job would be almost impossible, you know. But and I think sometimes we need to get that way in our spiritual faith. You know, we get so complicated in what we think God wants and what He wants to do, but we just need to be simple because He doesn't really want that much. You know, He wants us to come to Him in a childlike manner and just be simple in our faith and come to God with that kind of childlike expectation and want and desire. That's what I think we need to get back to. Just open our hearts up to what God has for us today. You know, listen to that little voice, that word that comes into our head. And, you know, we wonder if it's us speaking to ourselves or is God speaking to us. But, you know, I think if we listen hard enough and long enough, then you're going to understand that it's God giving us direction and meaning to this thing that we do. And so let's get anything else, Jack?
It's gonna be summer again today a little bit. Right?
Summer, yeah.
So, but they promised we'll get back to fall, close to winter tomorrow. So just kind of crazy. But it wasn't as crazy. I was looking at social media, pops up some history, and a couple years ago it had snowed. Remember that? Mm. It snowed, and then Hurricane Sandy 4 years ago. So we were all talking about building an ark. You know, so we're never happy, are we? We're never content with what God's given to us and the weather that we have. But I just hope that today everybody's here. Those who are here, those who are watching online, go ahead and just are able to connect to God in an awesome and special way here today. Sound good? Sound good? All right. So that's what we're going to do. We got some cool stuff to share. We get to announcements today and everything. But ultimately, like Wayne brought the song, it's a new song for many, but it's an old song for some others. How deep the Father's love for us. How many remember that old hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us? And some of you will get to know it differently. And that's one of the things we tend to forget. I was just looking. We have, after tomorrow, I think 7 more Mondays until Christmas. Mm. All right. Yeah, what happened to that year, right? And we have a lot of things going on in this time of year. And but a lot of times we don't just stop to recognize how deep the love of God is for each of us. All right, so let's just start today with a prayer. Lord God, we come to You today, welcoming all who are here and those who are watching as part of Church Online. And God, as we push further toward this thing that we call the end of the year, and where we feel like we got to scramble and we do lots of things to catch up that we should have done maybe in July and things that we wanted to do in those resolutions that we started in January that seemed to end by February. And we want to kick back in now. God, whatever it may be, let us just stop and just recognize how deep and how awesome Your love is for us. And let's just forget everything else and just focus on worshiping You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As wounds which mar the chosen one, sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear the mocking voice calling among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. It is finished, Lord. It is finished, Lord. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior.
He can rule the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author.
God, we just want to praise you and thank you for bringing us through another week and bringing us to this point here today where, God, we can go ahead and a lot of times with everything in life, we forget that we have a Savior who can move the mountains, that only you were mighty enough to save, that you only, when everything else was a lost cause, not by our own strength, but by our own power, by your Spirit, and by your sacrificial gift upon the cross, you made that possible. And so, God, as we go forth the rest of this day, may you just be more real to us. May we just love everything about you, and may we just set everything else aside in Christ's name. Let's have an awesome time in Jesus' name. Everybody says, all right, as the kids head to our shoreline, say hi to somebody. All right. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
There you go. Good. Glad you're here. Good to see everybody. If you're visiting today, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you are here. If you're visiting online, we'd love to hear from you too. But if you're visiting here, we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship here today. And again, so just fill out that card, take it back there, or just if you're visiting online and watching for the first time, go ahead and just send us a note on info@havencc.org, or go ahead to our Facebook page, Haven. It's Haven's webpage, something like that. It's on Facebook. You can click on it from there, and you can get there and say hi. If you got here and you see me, then you're good enough to figure out how to get to Facebook. All right. So good. Hey, we are almost in November. Where'd that go? All right. Almost in November. And so we have a number of different things that are on here. Number one, I want to share this. First of all, this Thursday at Sandy Cove from 6 to 8:30, I'm waiting to help you here, Debbie. I'm trying to get some publicity here. Okay. No, this is the Parish Foundation's annual dinner. And so it's $30 per person, and it goes right to the Parish Foundation to help them. If you'd like to attend, you can go to, tickets are available at theparishfoundation.org, or you can contact Mike Brandon, and we have that information there. But we really would love to, if you'd love to be part of that, I know they'd love to have everybody there if they could be there for this great event that they have. And it says, enjoy an evening of dinner in the Water's Edge Dining Room, and a message, Change Lives, by Mike Brandon. And there's a silent auction. as well to go for that. So that's at Sandy Cove this week. All right. A couple other things that we have. A thank you to the picnic, all who participated and had that. And for the bouncy house, I think the big kids had as much fun as the young kids. Am I right? The bouncy obstacle course. And there's some talk that John won, but there's also some talk about maybe some cheating. I don't know. But we'll have to find that out. I know Hannah and I were running, and she got ahead of me. And I know all of a sudden she fell off the ladder. I don't know how that happened. But I won. That's all I know, right? And it happens. Okay. So, but we had a good time out there, anybody who joined us. Trunk or Treat was a big success. We had 30 kids and 7 adults who dressed up for the occasion, and over 10 decorated trunks. So we had a great time. Good weather the other night. And it was really, really good. So there's some pictures on Haven's Facebook page of both those activities that we had. Operation Christmas Child. Where's Liz? Come here, Liz. Come here. You got to look at her. You got to look at her. Come here. All right. So come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Okay, so when we started announcing this, come here. Come here. Stand right here. We want everybody to get to see you. So when we started announcing this several weeks ago, we started mentioning that Joel was away. I had just come back after being away a little bit, and I guess I had a sabbatical for my brain and was really open to the Spirit or something. And they had said, last year we did how many? 150. So that was really good. We were happy with that. And I, in my own nature, or in the nature of the Spirit, we'll call it the latter, all right, said, hey, let's do 250, right? To which Liz went, huh? And looked at me, and I said, I'll buy you lunch. So, Liz, tell them how many we have. 277 boxes, and they're still counting and still coming in. And they really have now because of transportation, because we can, right? Isn't that right? We give them some. We can keep bringing them in. Yeah. So let's hit 300 now.
That's what I was saying.
There we go, 300. So Liz is thankful she's going to get a lunch on me. So, Gary, you get to eat too. What do you say? Gary says what? Yeah. Amen, right? There's amen. That's what Gary, amen, Corinne. But she's thrilled. We are, that's 120 some more than, right? I can't do math, than last year. That is amazing. And I am very thankful to all of you. And that means 120, maybe 150. I'm not getting greedy. I'm just going ahead and saying, because I know they're still coming in. Extra kids that wouldn't have got it last year aren't going to be sent away. Isn't that awesome? You guys deserve to give yourselves a hand there. That's awesome. That is incredible. So I am thrilled with that. I'm just waiting for next year what number I throw up. All right.
Yeah.
Who said that? Okay, teen said 500. You know, it was funny, because I got to tell you, I threw out 200, and I was like, okay, that's cool. And then, like, later, the first week when they brought in, we had 30. I'm like, uh-oh. but you guys did it, and I'm so thankful for that. That's awesome. Donna, you wanted to mention something about our Thanksgiving box thing, right? Yep. Come on down.
Hello. We are now starting into Thanksgiving, and we are very blessed. We actually got bags this year. For you guys, if you signed up to do a whole box, I have them out in the lobby. They're in blue and they're in red for you to fill them up. And on there, we chose the Psalms 107, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. And that's the message we really want to give to every family we give a meal to this year, is that God loves them no matter where they are, what's going on in their life, that he blesses them. And I just thank you all for signing up. We have more that you can sign up for. I asked the church to do 45 this year. I still had 4 boxes left that I hadn't signed up for. And we will be doing a food drive at Walmart on the 19th. If you'd like to help, come out and participate with that. Come see me at the table and sign up. And we also on that day will be filling these bags starting at 1 o'clock till 3. And we'll fill them up so that we're praying that we do more than the 90 that we did last year. Are you throwing a number out at us?
I'll even it out 100. Let's go.
Okay. So, and we do have a lot of different areas in the community that has reached out to us saying they need more than 100 for just one location.
Right.
That the government, that the county doesn't have the money to do it any longer. So God's calling us as his family to reach out to these families that need to see that he truly loves them and that they matter to him. So I have these bags to give you, and there's a little shopping list. And even if you just sign up to bring the corn or the peas or whatever, take one of these, and when you bring it back, check it off and write your name at the bottom. That way I know that you came and you brought it, and I can take your name off the list. It helps me at the end just to make sure that everybody gets recognized. And pray over these boxes and bags, because we really, really want to bless people. And, I mean, that's my heart for doing this, is that these people really feel God's love. And this church has so much love to give. I mean, you show it with these boxes how much you did, and just blessings. And I thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. All right, so that it's just awesome to see how that happens and how things happen. So we're going to go ahead and meet that need. It's really cool to see how, you know, Donna was mentioning, like, the county can't do that anymore and other kinds of things. You know, I think that over the years of the organized church, as we, and, you know, we went through Radical and other things, that I think a lot of things that the church should have been doing, we gave to the government and other things to do. And so I think we're just recapturing what Jesus told us to do in the first place. So continue to do that. All right. Thank you. You guys are awesome. All right. Paris Foundation dinner on the 20th of November. And because that is the week before Thanksgiving, they're going to have pizza, right? They're going to have pizza for them, because they're going to be getting lots of, like, turkey and stuffing and all that kind of stuff throughout that time. So if you'd like to contribute to that, Bonnie, right? Can they just put it in the plate or give it? Okay, give it to Bonnie, and Bonnie's going to collect it. She's going to be the collector and come around for it now. But if you could go ahead and do that, that would be an awesome thing, so that we can get enough pizzas for them. And it would be a great opportunity to go ahead. And if you want to serve there, you can also help out. It's a great opportunity right before Thanksgiving to go ahead and serve at the Paris Foundation. All right, so a lot of different things there. They're all good things, right? They're all awesome things that we have. Now we want to go some prayer requests. Rachel has asked for prayers for her best friend, Tanya, who's having hip replacement surgery tomorrow. So Tanya's having hip replacement. Jennifer Legullo is asking for prayer for Tina Rhodes, who's facing a number of struggles. Please surround her in prayer. Do you want to do that for Tina? Melinda has asked for prayers for travel for all those going to Cape On Springs, West Virginia, with CFO. It's a great week of worship, and they will travel home this Friday on November 4th. Praise that our local hero, this is a praise from someone, our local hero police were not physically harmed in Tuesday's shooting, and prayers for all families involved. Lisa Osborne has asked for prayers for Edna Harris, who is 103 years old and is in the hospital and is the mother of Lisa's 83-year-old coworker. So that is amazing. That is amazing longevity. She must have been good to her parents, right? So I got some long days in life. All right, any other prayers that we need to lift up? Judy.
Lee Kaplitsky, Sadie's dad's in the hospital with an infection.
Okay, Lee Kaplitsky. Say that five times real fast.
Susie, I guess everybody knows Susie. She works at the Dollar Tree and at Walmart. Anyway, she asked me to ask prayer for her. She had some tests done.
Okay, Susie, who's Dollar Tree and somewhere else?
Okay.
Everybody knows Susie. God knows Susie. So prayers for Susie for at the Dollar Tree. I don't know Susie. So,
so I went to Wawa this morning and talked to this cashier. And she said, you know, I don't know why she started telling me. She's on, you know, I'm a single mom and I make $11 an hour and I can't qualify for food stamps anymore. So she's, you know, living in a trailer with two kids. Mm-hmm. $11 an hour, too much money for food stamps.
Right. Yeah, Wayne said he ran into Wawa, and there was a cashier who just started sharing, and she was talking about that she makes $11 an hour, and that's too much to receive government assistance. And so she's got two kids and a single mom, so we just pray for her. Doug?
For the Massey and the Simmers family.
The Massey and Simmers family?
Massey and Simmers.
Okay.
The
father passed away with some young children. We want to lift Massey and Simmers family. All right. Any others? Yes. Okay, Chris is having another procedure on Tuesday. Last name?
Barkley.
So we want to lift Chris up in your prayers. Another one over here? Yes.
My sister Kim prayed that a month ago she was on a prayer list, Kim Rose, and she was in ICU, 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 and she was in ICU
Okay, so Kim had your sister cardiac arrest and no hope, and she came out of it. Okay, so pray that all the social work and other kinds of things gets her home with family from Baltimore. But we're thankful to God that she's, that where there's no hope here, God gives hope, and that's awesome. All right, any others? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just want to thank you once again for who you are and for all that you do in our lives and for the good, the bad, and even the ugly that make us who we are in you. God, during this time, we have so many needs, so many concerns. This is a time of the year where everything seems to kick in a lot more, gets a little bit more hectic, a little more crazy. And yet, we just don't know what we should do at times and where we should go. And we feel like we've wasted maybe a lot of the year because we thought we had so much of it. And now here we are on this like cramming toward the end. Whatever it is, God, we know that you're in control. I want to thank you, number one, for the boxes that are coming in, because each one of those boxes represents a life that is going to be impacted, and maybe even a life that is going to be changed for you, that they're going to come in contact with you and your Holy Spirit. And so, God, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon them. We're going to pray for them later in the service, the boxes, and we're just glad that they're going to keep coming. God, for the other gifts and the other things that were in the serving for the Paris Foundation and for the Thanksgiving, I ask for you to just do like you did with that boy's fish and loaves, and just multiply them to meet many people's needs. And we have so many prayer requests in this room of joys and concerns and sorrows and loss, and God, you're in it all. So as we move forward in this time, I ask this time where we give back a portion of the many blessings that you've given to us. God, I just pray with all my heart that you will just meet the needs of the people and that they will come to know you more and more in each and every step of your lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Breathe in me, and I will rise. Good morning. Today's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 26. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants.
We all have questions. Questions like, why is it called a building if it's already built? Why is there no egg in eggplant? And do penguins have knees? But some questions are more important than others. Questions like, how do I hear God's voice? How can I deal with difficult people? What does the Bible say about forgiveness and heaven? And what's the answer for all of my stress? Every week, we're going to answer your most asked questions and discover God's best plan.
All right, how you doing today? Good, 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 good. So we are in week 6 already. Isn't that hard to believe? It's a longer series, and I'm kind of liking it. I don't know whether you are, but I kind of like it. You like it? I don't care. All right. No, I'm glad. I'm glad. So it's fun because there's some questions that many of us have had, and sometimes many of us may have been too afraid to ask or say anything. Lose myself? There we go. I'm in the zone. There we go. Today we've dealt with things about heaven. We've dealt with all kinds of stuff. And today we're going to talk about how to deal with difficult people. And what I want you to do to start off today is look at the person next to you, and I want you to say, hey, welcome to church today. All right, and today, you're on the other side of you, the choice that you didn't make, say, you really need this today, okay? We talked about spiritual gifts last week, but today we're going to talk about how to deal with, how to handle difficult people. And so we want to see what God has to say about this. And this is part of our series, You Wanted to Know. And so you may not have wanted to know this topic today, but that's what I'm going to give to you. So what does God have to say about this? I just want to share, and you tell me if you believe it's right or wrong, that there's no anxiety like people anxiety. Right? That when you deal with other people, there's nothing quite like it. It's good, the bad, the ugly, the miserable, the pretty, the nasty, the explosive, whatever you want to say. It's not great. Whether you are in work or your school or whether it's with a sibling, a spouse, your children, whatever, it seems that these people anxiety-causing things are really, really interesting. Like, for instance, I remember, I still do now, but when I was a kid, I mean, you remember when you went to the beach and you would just play? You play all the time and you were always in the water? You know, and as a kid, I was always in the water and I'm playing, and the current would kind of move you, and so you'd pick an umbrella because they were all pretty much the same, those multicolored ones or the green ones or the blue ones that you rented. So you had to find some kind of marker, like an umbrella or something, as a focal point so that when the current drifted you all the way down here, because you're just here doing this, yay, you're jumping through waves, and you look and you go, where did I go? You think the whole beach moved on you. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you get out and you walk, or you're one of those people that walks through the water like that, and you get back there. You need that focal point. Because as a current moves you along, sometimes you end up in a completely different area. And I also believe that God is kind of like a spiritual umbrella here. One of the spiritual anchor points that we have is often with our relationships, that we have this, that we need God's love as this anchor point, but that the wind and the current that moves us a lot of times in that is this thing called relationships with other people. And what I found out is if you have a lack of peace in relationships, you tend to have a lack of peace in your life because it tends to mess with you a little bit. People problems, if you ask me, are the worst ones in life. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why why there's difficult people is because there's different people. Right? People are different than you. And I remember when Melissa and I first got married, one of the first things I found out that she did things differently than me. And one of the things, like I said, that the reason why we have difficulty with people that are different is because, and this is simply the reason why I have problems with people who are difficult in my life, is because my way's right. And my way's perfect, and I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. And that's what we think all the time, am I right? I like it my way, Burger King, I like it my way, and I like to have it my way. You're the difficult one, not me. And when we approach that to life, guess what? We're going to have difficult relationships. Am I right? Anybody ever tried to apply that to your life? So, like I said, Melissa and I have been married for 20 years, and there's several things that we found out over the years that we are different than. Melissa hates TV at bedtime. I find it a staple of my sleep patterns. I'm the kind of guy that before I had LASIK surgery years ago, that I used to wear glasses just in case I woke up and the TV was on and I wanted to watch something. All right? So she despises it. She hates it. She can't stand it. She would like to rip it off the wall, and she'd like to turn it off if she knew how with the remotes. So, all right? So she does not like that. The other thing is she hates chocolate. And look at me. I mean, that's how this got to this place. I love chocolate, right? I love chocolate. Yes, she can't stand it. Anybody else not like chocolate? Okay. Okay. There's something wrong with you, okay? But anyway, when it comes to talking, she doesn't like to, and, well, you know, you finished the rest of that sentence. I love to talk. I will talk. I will talk the ears off an elephant, right?
Amen.
There we go. See right there. Said the Pentecostal, right? Okay. All right. Did Patty say that? Okay. All right. So you can see and the times when we have difficulties, it's because we're different. Even though there's many things that are similar, how many have been married? How many have some difficulties in relationship? It's because you see things differently. People can look at the same thing, but you see them differently because we're different people. And sometimes that brings major difficulty. And what I found out is God does not put the same exact people together. It's kind of like this big joke that he has that he plops a whole bunch of people who are very different. And last week we talked about spiritual gifts, didn't we? And with spiritual gifts, we talked about everybody has a different one. That God has all this kind of stuff. So we should not be shocked that we're different people. But we want people to think the way we do and listen to what we say. In work, in church, in school, at the gym, they're different and there are many difficult people around you. We all have them. There are several different types of them as well. And I wanted to give a little bit of creative way in this season to share with you the way I think about some different people. Now, you know, growing up, I love superheroes. And there were a couple superheroes running around here, all right, the other night. And I just think that this time where we'll have costumes, that superheroes are the coolest things ever, all right? And so I want to share with you some of the difficult people superhero version in your life. So number one is the Batman. We all have him in our lives. I'm Batman. What? Excuse me, I can't hear you. I'm Batman. I'm Batman. They wear a mask and they talk real quiet. I'm Batman. No, I'm Batman. I'm Batman. And you're like, what? We're real close because I have no clue who you are. I'm Batman. That's all you get. I'm Batman. And they put this mask up so you think you know who they are, but you're not really sure because they got this mask and they talk real Batman. All right? So we have the Batman. The next one is Wolverine. Now, Wolverine is like, it's so unpredictable because it's like two people in one. They've got like multiple personality, disassociated. Because one time they're Logan and they're like, hey, everything's good. Next time they're like, ah, you know. So you don't know which one you're going to get. You may walk into the room and say, hey, how you doing? Like, ah, you know, you're like, whoa. Other times he may be like, hey, how you doing? You know, like that kind of thing. So we have Wolverines in our lives. We don't know who showed up today. Is it Becky or is it Beth? You know, we're not sure which one it is. Then we have the one I have on today. Here we go, Spider-Man, who's amazing, right? The amazing Spider-Man. And Spider-Man is always hanging around, dropping into other people's business. How many got Spider-Man in your lives? How many are sitting next to a Spider-Man? Just go, okay, there you go, all right? And then if you hang too close to them, they get you tied up in their web of mess. A lot of times, we have Spider-Man. Then you have the Flash. We all have the Flash, the one who, when they need you, zoom! And when you need them, zoom! Right? We have the Flash. They dart in, they dart out. They dart out. You go, hey, wait, let me ask you. And they're out. Right? I may have flashes in your lives. A flash in your life. All right? And if you go with them, you are on a whirlwind and you are exhausted with their nonsense. All right? What about the Joker? How many have the Joker? Like, they're just, I lost my job. That's great. You're like, dude, you are crazy. You're insane. Everything's funny. Oh, hey, I don't know. My marriage split up. Oh, that's great. Let's go out. What? Right? Anybody have the Jokers in your life? Everything's funny? And you're like, no, not everything's funny. What about this one? Mr. Freeze. Anybody have a Mr. Freeze in your life? They're cold, and they just freeze out everything. Like when people are together, they're just awkward, and they'll say something that'll just make the room, like, really, really frosty. And you'll be like, dude, why'd you say that? Just snuck it up and, like, you know, everybody's like, nobody knows what to do. Everybody's frozen solid. We have those, get ready. This is like your family that's coming over for Thanksgiving, am I right? And then we have this one, Doomsday. Everything is, they're the opposite of the Joker. Instead of everything, everything's, oh, it's doom, 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 doom. Everything's going to fall apart, the end of the world, boom. And they just keep bringing it. And you're just like, would you leave? I feel so depressed right now because I'm around you. Am I right? Anybody have those people? All right? And what about Wonder Woman? Wonder Woman. Miss everything. Miss everything. Before I got up this morning, I churned some butter. I made some soap. And in the midst of it, I got my PhD in nuclear medicine. And I ran a marathon while giving birth to three kids. What'd you do? I just woke up. Shut up. Right? That's Wonder Woman. Am I right? You know those Wonder Women? And you're just like, what is wrong with you? And they make you look bad all the time because they're always like this. Eh. All right? Wonder Woman. Then there's the greatest ever, Superman. As you can see, he's Mr. Perfect. He's so good looking. But the problem with Superman is this. He's always one-upping you. Anybody have a one-upper in your life? Like you say, I had a great day. Mine was better. My kid just graduated. Mine's still smarter. You know what I mean? You know those people? You just want to slap them a little bit with some kryptonite? Okay, there you go. But man, isn't that's the good, best looking Superman I've seen in a long time. All right. So Superman, they're one up of you. And then there's one that's related to Superman, but not quite. His name's Bizarro. Anybody know Bizarro? At first you see and you think it's like somebody who's good for you, but after you get mixed up with them a lot, they're like not really good for you at all. But they look like something that's good, and they look like something that they're not, and they're just a little bit odd, right? They say things weird. Like in mixed people, they say stuff, and you're like, they make you uncomfortable. Anybody know those Bizarro people? And this last one right here. I got two more. Sorry. What about this one? The Hulk. Hulk smash, right? Anger outburst. Anybody have these people in your lives? The anger outbursters? Rah! Smash! And like, they might even be in your family. Like, for instance, you're like, you call and you say, hey, honey, can you pick up some bread? What? Bread? No, I gotta get home. Rah! Anybody have those in your house? You have some of those, the Hulk. And the last one, Doctor Strange. That's self-explanatory. You know who you are. You're all strange. They're a little bit weird, all right? So we have all types of different people and difficult people in our lives, and relationships can become unraveled. And today I want to spend some time looking at the spiritual dynamic of relationship. And in doing so, I believe that there's more to meets the eye than just that we're different. Even though I said that, I think there's more that meets the eye, because in Ephesians it tells us our battle is not against flesh and blood, but in the spiritual realms. And so I believe there's a spiritual aspect to this relationship, and we have several layers that exist in here. And I don't believe it's just physical in this world, but also spiritual. And so I want to share three verses from Scripture. You have two of them printed in your bulletin. The second one you can look up on your own later, or on your smartphone or tablet or whatever you want to. And the first one comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's in your bulletin from the New Living Translation. Look what it says here. Again, I say to you, it was just read for us, don't get involved in foolish and ignorant arguments that only start fights. How many of you have ever been in a foolish and ignorant argument that starts a fight? All right? The rest of you don't have your hands down? Liar. Okay, but no, we've had those, or somebody else may have done that. Look at what it says. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be what? Must be what? Kind to everyone. That is so hard. I gave you that list of superheroes. How'd you like to have all them over for dinner? It'd be a weird, weird happening. Be kind to everyone. To be able to teach and be patient with who? Difficult people. difficult people. Now, the word here that they translate as difficult in the Greek is means the word annoying or hard or difficult. You ever know anybody who's annoying? Anybody ever told you you're annoying? I have. I'll let that settle in a little bit. I know you're shocked. But, you know, I mean, I annoy some people. I was like, sometimes I get really amped up. And I'm like really like full force. And some people are like, you are too much for me today. You just need to go. And I said, but you're my kids. You know, so. But, so it's true. All right. And so a lot of times we see somebody who's annoying, and we kind of duck and hide. You know what I mean? Like we see, oh, there's a, we duck away from him in the next aisle or something, hide. All right? We do the duck and hide. Look at what it says in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I don't have this in your bulletin, but I do have it up here. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. How do they come about? They come about because you want what? Your own way. And you'll fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Look at this. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Don't you love the directness of that translation in the Message? Spoiled children. So straightforward. In other words, me, myself, and I is a bad place to be in. And I really believe that the cutting point between the spirit man, the man that is of the spirit, or the female that is of the spirit, and the male or female that is of the flesh, comes to the forefront in relationships. Because Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For him, they were not separable. In other words, you can tell how you really love God by how you love other people. It's about relationship. And if you do some of these things that I'm going to share with you in Galatians, then maybe we need to check how much we love God. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 5, 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. That's some big ones. Idolatry and sorcery, hostility, quarrels, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. So he's getting some really big ones. But then he continues on. He says, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, which would be translated orgies in the direct translation, and other kinds of sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I got to tell you, after reading that list, I am very nervous. Anybody else? Maybe God forgot the college years, right? Is that the hope? But then look what happens. But God, everybody say, but God. But God, through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What this tells us is that we can't, by who we are, because we're selfish. Look at the person next to you that you said you're glad they're here, and tell them you're selfish. All right? We're self-centered. We're self-focused. Then look at the person that you told they need discernment and tell them, but the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit gives you the fruits of the Spirit so that we can live, and apart from that, that we can live these fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And I continue on, self-control, etc., etc. You know, in this list, it amazes me that envy and anger are equal with sorcery and idolatry. But God doesn't leave us stranded on that island where we can't make it. Instead, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us these fruits of the Spirit so that we can actually live with difficult people. Some of you are dealing with difficult people now. Some of you have dealt with difficult people for years. And so many, you know, it's interesting when we do go through prayer lists in groups, a lot of times most of the prayers focus on relationships. They focus on relationships with siblings, with parents, in marriages, with children, with jobs, with all kinds of things, that with relationship. And I just want to share this with you. The cause of people problems is simply this: sin, shame, and selfishness. Those three things, sin and our shame and our selfishness, are the cause of most of our people problem. So when we look at that, what choices do I have? Or what choices do we have in dealing with difficult people? Well, I'm going to start by telling you this. No one can force you and how to respond. No one can say, this is definitely, you respond this way. We're above that now. So only we can do this. So here's three quick manners that you can respond to this on the second page. You can curse it in the relationship. You can curse the relationship. You can nurse it and rehearse it. Because we nurse things, so we rehearse it. Anybody had a bad relationship that you continue to go over it with everybody? They say, hey, I thought you guys were friends. Let me tell you what they did. That person is no good. That person did this, and they did that. We rehearse it, so we keep nursing it. Keep it alive. Keep it coming. Keep that division coming alive. Or we can reverse it. Let's do that again. We can curse it. We can nurse it. We can choose to reverse it. Makes me want to rap. We can curse it. We can nurse it. So that we can reverse it. Wicky, wicky. That's free today, just to let you know. We already took off it. All right. We make choices all the time. We make choices in every relationship. We have no, ready for this one? You have no choice what people do to you. Nobody. Nobody. You have the choice what to do when it's done to you. Because you will have difficult people in your life. So what I want to do with the remainder of time is just look biblically at a means of dealing with difficult people. And the first thing that we got to recognize is what I just said, is recognize you cannot please everyone. You've got to realize it. You cannot please everyone. Have you ever tried to please people? That's impossible, isn't it? And you know what happens when you end up trying to please everybody? You end up making yourself absolutely miserable. Look at what it says here in John chapter 5, verse 30. By myself, everybody say by myself, I can do what? Oh, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for what I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So, you know, if you're trying to please everybody else, it's not going to work. Watch this. Okay, if I'm going to buy pizza for everybody, how many want cheese pizza, plain cheese pizza? Raise your hand. How many want pepperoni? How many want anchovies? If I bought one pizza, we're going to have a battle over pizza. You know why? Because we're all different. We all want different things. And if I'm going to try to please everybody, right now we have one slice with anchovies. We have a couple with pepperoni. We have the others with cheese. How many want black olives? There we go. Okay. So how many want more than just one topping? And you think I'm cheapskate? Okay, there you go. Look, so that is going to be a mishmash of pizza. And somebody's not going to like it. Somebody's going to say, I want the cheese, and they got all this pepperoni on here, right? I don't want that greasy pepperoni touching my cheese slice. We can't please people over pizza. So how the heck can I please people in every other aspect of my life? I had a house full of estrogen the other night. Tons of girls. Me and Judah and I were the only guys. We went and hid, all right? But they were there. And I ordered pizza. And it was just like I was doing right now. I'm like, I'll just order everything, you know? And so we get it. And they were fine. They were like, thank you. They were fine. They were great girls and stuff that were at the house. But what I'm saying is, I gotta tell you, in my own life, as a pastor and as a human, I have tried to be a people pleaser. And it stinks. It stinks. Because when you play this song in church, people like this song. When you say this thing in church, some people say awesome. Some people say, I interpreted this way that you were talking to me. When you do this for one person, why didn't they do that for me? You can't possibly please everybody in the world. Jesus can't please everybody. So how can Jack or anybody else? And you have spent most of your life trying to please people, and it does not work. Has anybody ever been in a position where you have two different bosses? And they're having this little conflict with each other? How's that working for you? they will use you to mess with the other person, and you'll try to please them both. I had one time where I was working for two different departments in the same place. One group wanted me to do this, and there was rules and regulations. So I worked out a schedule with this one. The other group wanted me for something else. This one worked out the schedule. The other side said, don't worry about it. I'll plop you in here. This side came and called for me and said, come here. I said, what? Do you know that you now have this on there? Were you trying to get one over on us? I'm like, no. Talk to them. Are you sure? No, because so-and-so is mad at you, because there's another third party. So I have to go to that third party, and I say, hey, we cool? Because I didn't do this. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm just innocent Jack trying to please everybody. And finally I said, you guys figure it out. It's not a good place to be. You cannot be a people pleaser. Realize that you can't please everyone. It'll leave you hurt. It'll leave you broken. It'll leave you confused. Now, I will tell you, though, not to please people doesn't give you, this is the other end of the spectrum, a license to be a rude jerk. You know the people who don't want to please anybody but themselves, and they will just say whatever they want to do and do whatever they want to do, and they leave this wake behind of people? Not being a people pleaser does not allow you to be a jerk. But in the end of the day, look at that scripture. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. At the end of the day, you got to say, am I pleasing God? Am I pleasing God with everything that I do? And is he happy with me? Because none of those other people who mess with your life have any say over your eternity but God. Number two, you can refuse to play the game. Look at what it says in John chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. Don't you love that? Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. Jesus knows people. And don't get in the game. Don't get in the game. And I tell you, it's so easy to do at work where, like, you know people don't like each other and they'll go, hey, cheer about? Just stick your head in the office. You hear about? And you're like, yeah, I heard about it. And you just want to, I heard today. And you know what's even worse? Social media now. Social media is brutal. Like, somebody puts something, you're like, I am going to reply. Send. Boom. Then it goes. Sometimes I put stuff there. And like last year, I'll tell you this. Last year, I put up something. I said it was Pentecost. And I put something on there. And I put, today is a special day in the history. And many people don't know or care. So my job was to get people to try to figure out what it was. And some people are like, oh, cool, thanks. I looked it up. I read this. And one person wrote, if you want us to come to church, all you had to do was ask us. I was like, and my immediate reaction was, well, I really don't want you there. You know what I mean? you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't look good. Haven Church doesn't want people at church, right? You know? And I'm like, you know, I was like, I thought all kinds of nasty things about this person. And they're true. But, I mean... but you know what I mean? You get caught up in it. And then I had somebody private message me, that person, I want to just, blah, 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 don't mess with me. Right. And I felt like saying, sick them. You know? You know, like that? I'm going to put a side frontal and a rear end, bam, they're going to be exploded. You know? And you see the person afterward, you're like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what the day is now, don't you? Yeah. Right? And it's all for a stupid post, right? It's just stupid. Don't get involved in meaningless quarrels. Isn't that what that verse said that we read today? But so much of our lives is caught up in other people's stupidity and our own. Third thing we got to do, rise above it. It's so hard to rise above it because it feels so fun putting somebody in their place sometimes. You ever put somebody in their place and you were wrong? You look like really stupid, don't you? And you're like, and then you're like getting ready to spin doctor it, like, I was just testing you. Seeing if you were really a Christian. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Isaiah 40, 31. This is an awesome verse, and I love this in the King James Version here. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like Philadelphia Eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Don't you want to wait upon God rather than just shooting off something? Wait upon him and let him renew your strength. I have had times in my life I was so ticked off at somebody. I had like a page of text and email and everything else. And I put it all in my notes section of my computer and just left it there because I got it out. But I didn't get it to a place that would destroy, you know. You see, someone you need to rise above it no matter how much the weight weighs you down. And, you know, someone once said this, and I love it. You can't fly like an eagle if you're hanging with the turkeys. And as I looked at this today, the Bible is really a family album, particularly the Old Testament. It's the reality of life. You have relationships and relationship struggles from the very beginning. You have Cain and Abel. They're ticked off, and one kills the other. You have Paul and Silas who if it wasn't for that, you know, you have Paul and Silas who were together, who had issues. You have Paul and Barnabas who were together. If it wasn't for Barnabas, you'd never have the Apostle Paul because everybody else was afraid of him. And they got mad over an issue, how they viewed a guy named John Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And Paul hated him and didn't want anything to do with him. And Barnabas said, "Oh, I'm going to stay with him." He's like, "No, he's a mama's boy. We were heading out somewhere and he had to go home, cry baby. I don't want anything to do with him again." And Barnabas goes, "No, he's not. He's a person who..." And Paul's like, "Well, fine. You go your way. You go, I'll go my way." They split and they didn't like each other. And it's later, and God set them in different directions. And the scripture later says, Paul said, "Hey, I was wrong." Paul said he was wrong about John Mark. I mean, he wrote one of the Gospels. I think he was wrong. So in looking through the Bible, this family Bible that we have, I said, who is the best example that I can share with you as we wrap this up today of a person who dealt with difficult people? And it's a guy named Joseph in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. It's so amazing that basically with a little verse in there, a chapter out of there, from Genesis 37 through verse 50, I challenge you to read it this week. You learn about a family. His father's Jacob. He's Israel, who's the Israelites are named after, and it is a dysfunctional kind of blended family that is there. But Joseph has something that his other brothers don't. He has the favor of God. God just has the blessing upon him. And Joseph is in this blended family with all these brothers and he has and sisters and he has dreams. And he goes to tell his brother, "Hey, I have these dreams and guess what? You guys are all going to bow down to me." Now, how many have siblings? How many of your sibling, your younger sibling came up to you or another one of your siblings came up to you and said, "Hey, I had a dream last night that you're going to bow down and worship me." You're going to be like, "I'm going to whoop your butt right now and show you who's going to worship what with my foot up your rear," right? Okay? So this is what he does. But this wasn't only that he just was a braggart and had these dreams. The other part of it was he was daddy's boy. Because dad liked his mom better than the other mom's wives. And he loved him. And so daddy, while the other ones are out in the field working, he gives him stay-at-home place and gives him a little nice like jacket. We talk about like a multicolored coat, but it actually means a richly ornamented. And he'd be like, "Yeah, what do you think about me now?" They're out there sweating. He's like, "Got my robe on. I'm the man. Look at me. Woo, look at this," right? And this is how he is. And he was a lot bit cocky about it, too. He was spoiled. So one day his dad says, "So I'm going to give you..." Last week we had the JCV for one verse. I'm going to give you the JCV, like paraphrase today. So here you have Joseph. He's with his daddy. His daddy says, "Go out in the field and check on the brothers. Come back and tell me." He's like, "All right, Dad." So he puts on his little coat and be like, "Yeah, I'm going to strut out there." Right, like that. He's strutting out there. They see him. They see him coming from far away, and they go, "Psh, here comes that dreamer. Man, let's just kill him. Let's just kill him." He has one brother named Reuben, says, no, let's not kill him. Let's not kill him. That would be bad. And he said, "You know, we got these empty cisterns here, this pit. Let's go ahead and chuck him in the pit until we figure out what we're going to do." So they chuck him in the pit, and then they eat lunch. Now, you know, Joe and I had some knockdown, drag-out fights when we were little, but not one of us threw each other in a ditch and then went and ate lunch. You know what I mean? In a hole. So here they are. He's in a hole. He's in his pit. And so they're talking about what to do. So Reuben again comes in. He's thinking he's going to get him out later and take him back to his daddy. But while Reuben's away somewhere, they go ahead and they say, "Look, here comes a caravan of the Ishmaelites. They're headed to Egypt. Let's sell them in slavery. You have really ticked off your siblings if they want to sell you in slavery." So they take him, and they go, say, "Here you go." They sell him slavery, and can't you imagine, "Joseph, what are you doing? Come on, I'm your brother." He's like, "Don't know you. Was this in your dream? How's that working out? Who's bound down to who? Enjoy the trip to Egypt. See ya." He goes in. So he then goes and he becomes a slave to this guy named Potiphar. Comes this guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar had, many people believe Potiphar was a eunuch, and he had this wife. And this wife, the scripture tells us that Joseph is a smoking hot stud. Remember, this is a Jack version, okay? That's who he is. And he looks good to Potiphar's wife. She's like, come here, boy. She's looking him over. He's like, no. He's avoiding. He's like dodging it, moving around. And so when Potiphar's around, it's normal. So one time he's there, and he gets a little too close to her, man. She grabs his coat, his cloak. And he's like, he gets out of it, leaves it behind, takes off running. Well, she's so mad now, and Potiphar comes home and says, he tried to attack me. He said, let's throw him in prison. So now he's a slave. Now he's in prison. All right? They took the coat, his brothers, mixed it with blood, and said an animal killed him. Dad thinks he's dead. He ain't looking for him. How's this for a good story, family story? So he goes, he puts him in prison now. He's innocent in prison. So can you imagine being Joseph and saying to them, what else is going to happen? What else could possibly happen to me? Well, while he's there, he's in prison. He's in a prison with some high-ranking officials. A cupbearer and a baker did a bad thing. So Pharaoh got ticked off, said, go to prison. He was there. While they're there, they have a dream. Joseph says, well, let me ask God. I'll figure if I can interpret this. He interprets it. Says, for the baker, guess what? Sorry. Okay. For the cupbearer, hey, you're going to go back in Pharaoh's court. Said, cool. So the day comes. Guess what? Baker, done. The cupbearer says, he's going back. And before he's leaving, Joseph said, wait. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. He says, no problem. Plops him back in Pharaoh's court. Guess what? He forgot him for 2 years. Joseph was 17 when this started. Right? Not how you look about that early adulthood area. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream. He's having some dreams. Cupbearer goes, how did I forget? Joseph, hey, let me tell you something, Pharaoh. When I was in prison, you remember when I ticked you off that thing? And a cupbearer wasn't a good job. You had to drink and make sure nobody was poisoning them. It's not like a fun job. Not like you just carried cups around. All right? So he goes ahead and he says, there's this guy named Joseph. He interprets dreams. All right? Says, break Joseph. Joseph's sitting there probably wondering, what's next? What's going to happen next? They open up and say, Joseph? He says, yeah. He said, come with me. Pharaoh wants to see. He said, what do I do now? What's going on now? Who's going to beat me up? Pharaoh comes in and he says, hey, can you interpret dreams? And you got to love this, what Joseph says. Joseph says, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer that he needs. I'd be like, sure, yeah. And I'd be like, I'd be making stuff up like, you know, hey, you're going to win the lottery, Pharaoh. It's a good thing. All right? It's cool, right? You're going to get some other wives. I figure that's probably a good thing, right? No, he says, I can't do it. After 2 years, they could have said, you can't do it. Get out of here. He said, but God can. And he interprets the dreams about famine, and he saves the whole world. He saves all of Egypt. Pharaoh loves it so much, he puts him second in command. You talk about a whirlwind ride? This would make a great biography on TV. They put him in second charge of everything. And he doesn't only save Egypt, he saves his brother's family. So here they come in, and he recognizes him, but he's grown up. They don't recognize him. Surely not going to see him in an Egyptian garb. And through verses 42 to 45, Joseph begins to play with his brothers. He makes them make several trips back and forth. He gets their younger brother there and then frames him for stealing just to play with him. He did a lot less than I would have done. And then in chapter 45, he begins to make himself known to his brothers. And he makes himself known. He brings his father in there. And he says, can you see him? He's like, how do you like me now? I'm second in charge. Remember that dream? Yoo-hoo, let me remember that dream that you guys didn't like. Start bowing. Go on. Because see, I got my wife here. I got Manasseh and Ephraim over here. Yeah, well, this is my family now. What you going to do? Brings his father back. His father dies. After his father dies, let's go here. They think he's going to kill him. Right here, look in verse chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, What if Joseph holds a grudge against us? And pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? That's a good question, isn't it? I think I would be, I'd be like, wait till daddy dies. Yeah. All right. Listen to this. But Joseph says to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God that you intended me harm? But God, everybody say, but God. But God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. God, you intended something bad, but God brought me here to bring something good. All those struggles, all those trials, all those difficult people that Joseph came down with, it was all because God was working in the midst of it all to bring something good. Now I want to show you a cool picture. Ready? Go ahead and show that picture. All right, I wrestled in high school. That's me getting ready to go do battle. All right, and you can see I wasn't very big. Right? I wasn't too big. But I wrestled, my senior year I wrestled, I weighed 157 and I wrestled 171. And that means you're wrestling bigger guys. You're wrestling guys who cut down weight, who don't eat for 3 days and spit in cups all day in order to make the weight. And here I am like eating chocolate bars and Big Macs. All right, they didn't like me at weigh-ins. Right? So here I am, and I was outweighed. And so when I first started wrestling this weight, I would try to shoot in and grab a leg. But when I did, they just boom and boom. All that weight on top of me, boom, just nailed me down. And I was just kind of like there at their mercy with their weight on me. All right, so then I decided to back up, right? Decided to back up. And when they would shoot, I'd sprawl out on them. But they were usually so big and much stronger that they would go ahead, suck my, you know, a lot of them suck in my my leg. And next thing I know, they get weight again on me. So what do I do? How did I go ahead and deal with this? I got my butt beat several times. I had that happen. But what is this little pipsqueak on the screen to do? Well, one of the things I knew I needed is I needed a go-to move. I needed something that I needed to go to. And one of those things that I realized is even though they're bigger, when they get their weight moving in a direction, you can utilize that. But sometimes you can't get caught up in the midst of all that stuff. You've got to sometimes step back, right? You got to step back and get some space between you. Then you go back in, then you lock up, and I had this thing called a headlock. And so they come in, and they tie up, and they were stronger than me, most of them. But then what I do is when they come in, boom, their weight would go. I pop my hip like, you see that? Boom, pop that hip. Boom, pop that hip. You guys like that? Bam, pop that hip. They go over, and I'd clinch it in like that. I remember one guy was just cussing around because I threw him in four of them. I was like, bam, woo, like the hip. Yeah, there you go. So I popped that hip, and I did a headlock, and bam, they hit that. If they pinned him out, I was like, yeah. I had a go-to move now, all right? Didn't work all the time, but I had a go-to move to deal with all that struggles because I wasn't as strong, I wasn't as big. And what I needed to learn to do was not get controlled by the weight and try to carry that weight under my own strength and power, but to leverage, to get some space and leverage their weight so I could have victory by their weight headed in the right direction, in the right place, than being buried by the weight taken on myself. And you know, this has a spiritual implication. Joseph had a go-to move. All that weight of pains, lies, accusations, betrayal, and all those coming against him, he took that weight and had the ability to not get buried by it, but to take a step back and utilize that leverage of a weight to get in the place of victory where God had called him to be. And that's what we need to do. Get out of our place where we're trying to carry all the weight of this, the life and the dysfunctional and the difficult people that we have in our lives, and get into the right place, God's place of leverage. And we can't do, Joseph told us what we can't do, what 1 Peter says as we wind down today. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Pay them back with a blessing. That's what God has called you to do. The answer to people problems is three things. As the worship team comes up, it's God's plan, God's promises, and God's presence. You may be going through a difficult time in your marriage, relationship, work, school, or others, but guess what? You may say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust your plan for my life, because guess what, God? Your plan is bigger than the problems and struggles that I'm dealing with in life. God, I'm going to trust you for the promise in my life. And that's why we have studies where we get into the Bible and small groups where we can take those pains and those awkward things that are weighing us down and we can go ahead and see what God's plan and purpose is from there. Like wrestling, you got to learn how to move out in some space. Sometimes you just need to step back and look at something rather than be caught up in the grappling of it all. You need to take a moment just to hear God's voice and then get back in. So in closing, what I want to ask you to do as you stand up, what is your go-to move? When you hurt and have pain, what do you go to? Step back and see what God has. Joseph was never alone. Even in the prison, he was never alone. He always had God right there with him, making a way in his plan. What an amazing story that God has of redemption and promise in Joseph. And guess what? God has that same plan of redemption and promise with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. I want to pray for everybody here who's going through difficult relationships. I want to thank you for those people in our lives, those Wonder Women, those Batmen, those even the Mr. Freezes, the Bizarros, and the Doctor Stranges. They're all different, God. And so in all this, God, I just want to ask you to just help us to begin to be like Joseph, to say what was intended for bad, you're going to use for good. Let's hold on to your plan and your promise. And let's seek your face in all things. There's others of you here today that you feel really far from God. You may feel farther from God than you ever have. You may have felt like you drifted just a little bit, but you're far from God. And you say, I need to get it right. I need to get it right here today. I need your peace and your forgiveness, and I need a new beginning and a new start. If that's you, it's okay to bring your mess to God. It's needed to bring your mess to God. And so, God, right now, I just want to pray for everybody here today, and I just want to say, if there's somebody here today who just says, you know what, I got to get it right. I feel far from Jesus. If you feel far from Jesus and you need him to just get closer in your life, maybe you've had struggles, maybe you've had difficult relationships, if that's where you are and you just want to get a little bit closer, just kind of raise your hand where you are right now. Just kind of raise your hand where you are. There you go. And so, God, I just ask that you go ahead and just draw them closer, closer to you. For others who, God, are just struggling with relationships or just in themselves. Maybe some have never just reached out and accepted you as the Lord and Savior, and they need that. God, I just ask that they just lift their hands right now and that you just hear that right now. God, for the rest of us who are just trying to do this thing called life, I pray that we won't get beat down by it, that we will be strengthened by it. So God, move with your Holy Spirit, whether people want to come up and pray with some of our Stephen ministers up front, or whether they just need to be where they are in the quietness of their own spot, whether they're at home watching today, I just pray that you'll just touch them for the power of your Holy Spirit. They may be lonely like Joseph. God, let them have the spirit of him. What God intended for bad, you're going to bring to good. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Who you are.
as churches I've been part of before, people used to say, God is good all the time. Awesome. Just remember that throughout the week. Now, next week, we're going to continue with the series, week 7. Hey, we're rocking along with this. But it's going to be a little bit of transition on this one because we got some stuff going on in the world. All right? So next week, here we go. And the winner is? It's a question mark. So what is a Christian going to do around the election? All right? So we're going to talk about Christians. All right? All right, you asked for it. Here we go. All right, see you. Have a great week.
Mercy reigns and never dies.